Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. There are a lot of competing philosophies and belief systems in today's culture. They can't all be true. The question we're going to answer today on Daily in the Word: which faith? Stay with us. Coming up next with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to answer some tough questions. There really are a lot of competing belief systems in today's culture, a lot of different systems that are crying and vying for your attention and for your allegiance. How will you determine what you believe? What authority will you rely upon? Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College. Today's series is entitled, Which Faith? We're answering some tough questions, but we're not just answering those questions with our own opinion or with conjecture. We're going to the Word of God, the final authority, God's written word to mankind, and we're going to rest upon the truth as He defines it. And so I believe this series will greatly help you and maybe a friend that needs to know Christ. I hope you'll consider passing along to them this series, Which Faith? Before we join today's message with Dr. Chappell, I want to encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find links to today's broadcast and recent messages, also a vast host of other resources that will help your spiritual growth and your walk with the Lord. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit with us at dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find a lot of resources to help you in your Christian faith and growth. You'll find a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell and links to recent broadcasts, as well as the Daily in the Word podcast. I also want to encourage you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. Your gift of any amount to Daily in the Word will help us to pay for airtime and to continue the work of teaching and preaching the truth, the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. But now let's open our Bibles, and here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Which Faith?
Have you ever heard the term the second coming of Jesus Christ? We all know about the first coming. You've heard of Christmas, haven't you? You've heard of Jesus in the manger. But what about Jesus coming again? Will he come in the same way, or will it be different the second time? Did you know most Americans believe that Jesus is coming again? Why don't we turn to the Bible today and see exactly what the Scripture says to describe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 is our text. Let's open God's Word today.
Our governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, along with Al Gore, went to the United Nations to talk about the problem of all of the emissions that are coming into our climate and all of the problems related to global warming as they see it. And they spoke to the United Nations about laws and about ways to somehow stop the problem of global warming. During the same period of time, the French president of the European Union also challenged all developed countries and the largest emitters of these contaminants to commit to a 50% reduction by the year 2050. It seems to be the hot topic of the European Union, which some Bible scholars consider to be the revived Roman Empire of the book of Daniel. It seems to be the hot topic of the global world, if you will, the world powers, if you will, to come together and discuss this subject of global warming. Al Gore, in his book entitled An Inconvenient Truth, wrote these words. He said, "So whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you voted for me or not, I very much hope that you will sense that my goal is to share with you, listen to this phrase, my goal is to share with you my passion for the earth. His passion for the earth. This man raised in a Southern Baptist home, and by the way, it does matter what kind of a Baptist church you attend. There are those who deny the inerrancy of scriptures. They view it allegorically. There are those who view the Bible as the inspired, infallible Word of God. And those beliefs affect your lifelong view of life and of these issues of which we speak this morning. And here is a young man raised up in a home and in a church specifically that emphasizes more of the allegorical view, and hence his passion is for the earth. And he writes a book asking you to share his passion for the earth. In fact, he says, and I quote, "The climate crisis indeed is extremely dangerous. In fact, it is a true planetary emergency. The crisis of this hour on his heart is global warming and the melting of the polar caps and all of the effects of the rising tide. Global warming," he says, "along with the cutting and burning of forest and other critical habitat, is causing the loss of living species at a level comparable to the extinction event that wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. That event was believed to have been caused by a giant asteroid. This time, it is not an asteroid colliding with the earth and wreaking havoc. It is us," Al Gore says. Now, whether an asteroid caused this problem 65 million years ago has yet to be determined biblically, and I'm not sure it's been determined scientifically, but they are sure of this fact, that every time we spray our hair with hairspray, I don't have that problem, but every time we turn our car on, we are all contributing to the problem of this planetary emergency. Now, 85% of Americans believe in global warming, and in fact, we're not here to debate the fact that the world in which we live grows warmer and may grow sometimes cooler from time to time. We're not here to say that worldwide flooding may not be a problem in the latter days. It's not emphasized in the scripture. We do know that at this present time, kings of the earth, great men, rich men, businessmen, are all coming together with this concern about global warming. Bristol University gave a report a few years ago speaking of the catastrophe that will come from global warming that will bring the worst mass extinction in the history of the planet. Now, there are scientists who deny that the world will end with global warming. One scientist and professor by the name of Essenhay at Ohio State University said, and I quote, that the Earth may reach a peak in the current temperature profile within the next 10 to 20 years, and then it could begin to cool into a new ice age. So if you're not worried about global warming, maybe 30 years from now we'll be worried about the new ice age. I can't make sense of it all. I do believe that as we look into the scriptures, though, the emphasis in the Bible is not on global warming. In fact, I wonder this morning, will the world end because of global warming, or is this another ploy to bring all the nations together in the end times? Will the world really end because of global warming? And I ask you secondly this morning, what about the second coming of Jesus Christ? What about Baptist people who used to be concerned about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again? What about the Bible? Dr. George Sweeting says that over 2,100 times in the Bible, we read about the second coming of Jesus Christ. 2,100 times there is a direct reference or there is a context in the Bible that speaks about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Folks, I want to tell you something. If there's something in the Bible 2,100 times, we ought to pay attention to it. Now, we're either going to listen to the scientists and the politicians of the day and go out after church and buy little rafts, rubber rafts, or we're going to get back to listening to the Word of God and hear the message of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You see, the fact of the matter is this morning that what the Bible does tell us is that the world will not end with a flood. Oh, God brought a flood once, and He didn't need a long, provocative, warming trend to bring it about. The world will not end in a flood. The world will end when Jesus Christ comes, and He will come at an appointed time according to the Word of God. This event is commonly called the Second Coming. Sometimes it is referred to as the Glorious Appearing. The first coming took place in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus came the first time as a baby in the manger, and he lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth, and he was crucified on an old rugged cross. And I remind you, he rose again on the third day, and the angel said to the disciples witnessing his ascension, this same Jesus will come again. You see, we're not preaching some hocus pocus this morning. We're not speaking some Baptist philosophy this morning. We are giving you the direct truth of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ will come again. Now, there are three preliminary considerations that must be understood when we study the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, these are three elements of the study of eschatology that we will not have time to study this morning, but for the sake of the context of Revelation 19, let me mention these three preliminary considerations to you. Number one, we believe that the Christians have already been removed from this earth prior to the time we're about to study. Some people call this the rapture, the catching away of the church. It is referenced in the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the church will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And this is called the pre-tribulational rapture. The Bible says that we will be saved from the wrath to come. I believe that Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath of the tribulation period on this earth, as well as from the eternal damnation in the fires of hell. The Christians are removed before Revelation 19. In fact, you do not read of the church after the first few chapters of the book of the Revelation. Secondly, the Antichrist will be in power during the last 7 years on this earth. The last 7 years will be a time where the Antichrist will have come together with the rulers of the world and established his political platform. Some say it will be as the result of the United Nations, some say the European Union, some say 10 different global powers that are under his authority. However it comes to pass, the Bible is clear that the beast will be ruling in this period of time. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Thirdly, you need to bear in mind that during this tribulation period, there will be people who believe on Jesus Christ, and they will be severely persecuted. They will be beheaded. They will be constantly persecuted because they refuse to take the mark of the beast in their forehead, because they refuse to follow after the beast. They are under a time of persecution. And so I think you get the picture. The world comes to its final moments. The church has been removed. The Christians have been removed. There are some that are saved during this period of time, but they are sorely persecuted. The Antichrist is ruling, and now at the final moments of the world history as we know it, the Bible tells us what will happen in Revelation 19 and verse 11. Listen to the words of the Holy Spirit through John the Revelator. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here we see the revelation of Christ. Now let me say very quickly, no one knows the day or the hour. One of the signs of a false church is that they attempt to predict when Jesus Christ will come. No one can say exactly when Jesus Christ will come. In the year 1843, there was a man by the name of William Miller. Mr. Miller began to predict that Jesus would come on April the 4th, 1843. He was the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, one of the founders. And Mr. Miller gathered people together, many of them on their rooftops. Many went to the graveyards and stood by their gravestone of their deceased loved ones. And they waited on April the 3rd for Jesus Christ to come, and he did not come. Then they set a few more dates stating when Jesus would come, and again, he did not come. And we learn from this the folly of trying to predict exactly the day when the Bible itself says no one knows the day nor the hour. Here we see the day of his second coming. And the Bible says that the heavens open. And I want you to notice the heavens opening in the scriptures. For in the opening of the heavens, we see the declaration of God's power. This is not merely the parting of clouds, but this is God's universe opening, and the heavens opening so that Jesus Christ is coming down to this world. Revelation 6 and verse 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You see, at this day we're studying this morning, when the heavens open and when Jesus is revealed, those men, those rich men, those ruling men, those mighty men who rejected Jesus, who laughed at the Christians who believed in the second coming, who had all types of replacement theories for the truth of the Bible, including Darwin's theory of evolution, including their own hypotheses of the world's origin and demise, all of those who laughed at the Lord Jesus Christ now will find themselves in hiding at the very sight of the heavens opening and Jesus coming. This is a catastrophic event that no global warming or scientific analysis can explain. This will be a shock and awe like the Middle East and like the world has never known. It is the declaration of the power of God. And we see here in this verse the description of the Son of God. For the Bible says in verse number 11, "He that sat upon him was called," notice this, "faithful and true," as opposed to the Antichrist, who will through subtlety and through manipulation assert himself into power. Jesus Christ is called faithful and true. The Bible says furthermore that in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here we see that in righteousness he comes. And this description is befitting of the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes as the heavens are open. But notice not only God's heavens open, but notice secondly, God's holiness revealed. God's holiness is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says in verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire." Do you see the holiness of God there as I do? "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Notice as we see this picture in the scriptures of the Lord Jesus, that he is seen first of all as a wrathful king. Now there are many today, many Christians today, who do not want to think about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. They do not want to think of God in this sense of having eyes aflame with fire. And to be sure, God is love, and God is merciful, and God is patient. But at this moment in world history, now he comes in judgment. And he will come to judge those who have persecuted his people. And he will come to judge those who have mocked his name. His eyes are as a flame of fire. He comes with righteous indignation. He comes now, the Bible says, wearing many crowns. This is a recognition of the fact that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Others have tried to assert their power. Alexander the Great and Napoleon and Stalin and Hitler. They rose and they fell. But Jesus will come with many crowns. He will come with power over all the nations. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "Wherefore for God also hath exalted him, hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And the Bible says of him in verse 12, the Bible says he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. Some wondered, who is this? Some wondered, what is his name? But verse 13 reveals it for us. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Oh, the first time he came as a babe in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, depicting the fact that he would die and be buried and raise again. But the second time he comes as the Word of God, and he is seen as a wrathful king, his eyes a flame of fire. He is seen, secondly, as a warrior king. For the Bible says in verse 13, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." He is prepared for war. His attire identifies his purpose. Many of his saints have been killed during the tribulation. Many of his truths have been mocked. And the Bible says in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2, God is a jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Oh yes, the Lord is slow to anger, but now the time will come when judgment will be brought upon this world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 speaks of it as well in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you were to visit the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., you would see many interesting things. You would see the bust of every founder of every state in this union. You could see the bust of Roger Williams, the Baptist minister who founded Rhode Island. And then you could go inside the Capitol building and see the beautiful painting on the dome. And as you look up into the dome of the Capitol, you might see the heavens depicted and the clouds and what would appear to be some angelic type of beings. And then, as one tourist a few years ago noted, the words that were inscribed on the dome of our Capitol, which say, "One far off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. One far off divine event toward which the whole creation moves." And the tourist said to the guide of the tour that day, "What does that mean?" And the guide said, "I think it refers to the second coming of Christ." You see, when the dome of our Capitol was erected and painted, some God-fearing official ordered that an inscription be etched into the dome which spoke of that coming event at the end of the world. It is not a picture of men floating around in rafts. It is not a picture of a flood, but it is describing that one event which believers throughout the centuries have looked for, and that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Perhaps you've made a decision as a result of today's broadcast. We'd like to know about it. We'd like you to take a minute and respond to us by email or let us know that our program is touching your life. Also, at the website, you can find links to recent broadcasts, a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell, and many other resources to encourage you in your spiritual growth. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a closing word.
Thanks, Kerry. What a blessing to team up together and teach and preach here on Daily in the Word. And I want to thank you for being a part of this ministry. If you have not done so already, I want to ask you to visit dailyintheword.org. As I teach and preach every single day on more than 400 radio stations across America, it's a great joy to hear from people who visit dailyintheword.org, and they just simply click on the little tab that says Contact Us, drop us an email, and let us know what God is doing in their life. We love to hear from listeners like you. If God would let you also click the tab that says Donate and send a gift to this ministry in order that we might continue to pay for the airtime, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you today. That's dailyintheword.org. This is Paul Chappell saying thank you for being faithful to the Lord.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you.